There's joy in the Lord, isn't it? There's life in the Holy Spirit. I thank God for His presence in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, as we take the next couple of minutes, we ask that you would continue to stir up our hunger. That's what we want. We want you to stir it up. Fan the flame, Holy Spirit. Fan it. Let us coming together sharpen each other. And I pray once again that dead men come alive, dead women come alive. I pray that the blind would see in the name of Jesus. I pray that your spiritual eyes would open in the name of Jesus. Your spiritual eyes would open. I pray those who are entangled in deception would be set free in the name of the Holy Spirit. Thank Father, I pray that the stream, it says those in John, says those who believe in you, there would be a stream. You know what? I want you to picture a stream, a river. What happened? River bring refreshment. So yes, Lord, I thank you for the way you come and you sit in our midst. We honor you. Lord, I pray that you would sanctify us, sanctify our motives. Lord, even as we read your word this morning, Holy Spirit, you're the greatest teacher ever. Teach me first. Thank you for the way you've been just teaching me, but I just give you the next couple of minutes that you would, you would minister to us in ways only you can do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And you saints say, amen. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Ah, let me hear it louder. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Yeah, you know what? It's like when we shout hallelujah, your enemy flees. You know, you can say hallelujah or hallelujah or louder. You know, it works. It works. So a couple weeks ago, the Holy Spirit was just stirring some things here, and he gave me a vision. And the vision, I thought I'm going to share it, but then I look at the time. I'm like, okay, I don't have to share it. I can share it later. But I'll share it today. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I'll share it today. So during our prayer time, what the Lord was doing here, I didn't even have a time to present, to preach a sermon, the message I prepared on the fivefold ministry gifts. I'm taking a detour again today because I believe he wants me to talk about why the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why, you know, it's like whether you knew it already, whether you've heard it already, it's just like, I mean, why do you have to eat again today? I mean, when you go home for lunch, you should ask your family, again? We're eating again? You eating again? It's a wonderful meal yesterday we had. We eating again today? I mean, it doesn't matter. Let's say we're going to protest. We're not going to eat. Your body's going to tell you. You can only protest for so long. That's why some people, they don't like fasting because they can't go without. So why the Holy Spirit? We need him. So the vision I saw a big pool. Like in the pool, I saw the beginning of the pool, but I didn't see the end of it. And I saw something. I didn't see an angel, but something, I could assume it's the presence of the Lord or an angel agitating the pool, the water. And the water was just bubbling. You know, when you see like a water, like we have a lake, sometimes you see a lake and they've got a fountain. And some fountains can be very boring fountain, but some fountain, you see the light, you see, let's say, beautiful. So the pool is agitating, so there is life. But while the pool is being agitating, I hear the voice of the Lord saying to people, jump in. But you know what I saw? And I didn't see any faces, thank God. I didn't see any, it wasn't like I saw X or Y standing over there. I saw a bunch of people sitting like this with a smile on their face. So then I'm like, Lord, why are they smiling? He said, they're just enjoying it. But nothing will happen to them by watching. You see, some of you, you see what God's doing. You know what he's doing. You are a little bit uncomfortable. But you enjoy it. But what God's saying, I'm taking my church to a higher level. I'm taking the church to a higher level, but you're just sitting, watching, enjoying. Nothing will happen to you until you jump. Until you jump in that pool. And please listen to me. Listen to me. There's a call on the bride of Christ for us to jump in the pool. Leave your uncomfortable spot. And that's one of the reasons I don't know how it is. And I always tell people, the altar is not necessarily here, right? Okay, we say come to the altar. This is not the altar. I mean, yeah, it can represent the altar. But also your heart is the altar. Sitting over here can also be the altar. Okay? But how many times the Lord is asking you to step out of your comfy seat? And you know, there are people here I know my church. I've never seen you step out. You don't need prayer. You don't need prayer. I need prayer. I come to the altar. We have prayer ministry team. And sometimes the enemy keep you in your chain. And the chain is shame. It's guilt. It's shame, guilt. I don't want people to judge me. Nobody can help you. Nobody can help you. No one but Christ. Who cares? I don't care what, listen, I don't care what you think about me. I come to the altar every day, all day long. You know, I told you, we have this, in our humanity, we have this image. I even saw it during worship. And I mentioned it in our house. Some of you, you don't want people to come to your house because you think your house is too dirty. Or it's not pretty enough. And you know what I say? I say, clean your house because I'm coming. Some people don't like when I just show up. I say, that's how Jesus is coming back. You unexpected. But still, there are some of you, I still haven't been to your house because, you know, it's like you don't feel comfortable bringing people in your home. Why? Let's think about it. Why? 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 Because we have this image, you know, and as a matter of fact, when people are coming over, we do clean a little bit. You know, it's normal, you know, you have guests. You got to get rid of your old dust, which is good. So maybe some of us should have people more over more. That way we can really keep the house. But still, when we clean the living room, the dining room, you know, the whatever room that's for front, there's that one room. There's that one closet. You and I, we know that closet. And each of us here, let's see, do I have a closet like that at home? I might. But all of us, we have this closet. And the Lord is saying, I want in that closet. Would you let me in that closet? You remember that box I talked about a couple weeks ago? Remember that box? Would you let the Lord in that box? So why do we need the Holy Spirit? I believe more than ever If you don't grow, you will die. Some of you, you've been in church for all these years, and you haven't produced any fruit. If you, my brothers and sisters, if you don't grow spiritually, you will die. And as a matter of fact, there are a lot of dead people in church. There are a lot of dead people in church. And I don't want any of you to be part of the dead branches. So you need to examine yourself. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit." You see, when you give your life to the Lord, he gives you the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't think about it, but Ryan, maybe June can help me. Can you find me a little bucket and give me a little water? Maybe Robert can. And then I need two towels. I need actually two buckets. I didn't think about it. It's just something that I've seen one of my teachers do in Rhema Bible School, and I'm like, while I'm thinking about this, I want to give you that picture. When you heard the good news, when you believed in Christ, it says Christ identified you. Bim, you're mine. He put a stamp on you. How did he do that? By giving you the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody here who is born again, you do have the Holy Spirit. You are born again by the Holy Spirit. There's no other way you would be born again. Talking about new birth, it happens by the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us by his own, to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. But two things I want you to see in this verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, is when you believed, God stamped you. When you believed, thank you so much, brother. When you believe, God put a stamp on you, and I want you to see this. Thank you, my man. Appreciate you. So this is you. So let's say this is the same person, all right? Says cozy with cat. All right? But let's say this is you. You born again. When you born again, you know what happened? God made a little deposit. Now, before I made the deposit in this towel, it was dry, right? We all can testify it was dry. Now what I did, God, Jesus went to heaven, talked with the Father, pour his Spirit. You born again, you confess your sin, bang. Now, if I take this towel and I put it over his head, are you with me? If I put it over his head, there is an effect. What's the effect? It's cold. And now his bald head is wet. All right? Stay there. Stay right there. So now, same person, not born again, interacting in the world, same connection, different effect. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. So then, Jesus, like, verse Ephesians chapter 1, because you belong to Christ, Christ did what? Did a deposit. So now with this deposit, when I go and interact with the world will know there's a difference, right? But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there, right? It says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what happened? So now, I know some of you thinking, no, don't do that. You know, but I won't do that. But you got the picture. You got the picture. My brothers and sisters, when we fill with the Holy Spirit, listen, there are some people in the church, your life is so dry. You cannot affect your world around you. You know why? You're not immersing. In the water, you know, and of course the water is one symbol in the Bible that represents the Holy Spirit. So let's say we feel, right? We feel with the Holy Spirit. Life is good. But then all of a sudden, you got the worries of life, sickness, death, you know, loss of jobs, politics, move, children, marriage, marital problem. And then what happened? This beautiful brothers and sisters that was so filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened to them? Life suck. The Holy Spirit. Same towel, right? Different effect. But thank God. Thank God. We have a source that never runs dry. You see, that's what I want you to see. We have a source that never runs dry. We, Kendra and I, we live our lives like that. If we tell you stories on how life tried to suck the life of God out of us. But you know what we do? We keep running into the source. We keep running into the source. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to keep running to the source. Then, you know what's going to happen? We will have a vibrant church. We will have a church, listen to me, you will have a church where Satan is not having a party over your finance. Satan is not having a party in your marriage. We need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because, listen, life will suck Christ's life out of you. And I don't want that for us. You know, some of you are thinking, I'm so glad I never sit up front anymore. God bless you, brother.
I love you, brother. Yeah.
You know, I remember back in 2015, one of my teachers in my school, he kind of did it a little different, but he uses this. And every time I'm thinking, I'm seeing life sucking the life of God out of me, I got this picture, man. I got to jump in the river. And I believe that's what God's showing us as his people. Guys, me talking to you for 30 minutes. There are some of you, I only see you once a while. And not only that, you never go online to listen to what we're saying. So it's like, who's discipling you? So it doesn't matter. Get to the source! Get to the source. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a pure bride, for a vibrant bride. Get over your hurt. When I say get over all your hurt, let him in the hurt. Because he will heal you. If we trust God to redeem our souls, can he redeem our marriages? Yes. If I can only trust God to just for salvation to sent me to heaven and for me to live a miserable life here on earth? Think about it. Some people, that's their mindset. They think, well, okay, I love Jesus. Now I'm going to serve God. But then I'm so miserable and can't wait to die to heaven. You have a wrong perspective of eternal life. Your eternal life starts right now. You need to start experiencing his life in every aspect of your life. Emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually. You know, I believe if I was Satan, knowing what he's doing, I would get church people to ignore the Holy Spirit. I would get people to misunderstand the Holy Spirit. I would get people to be like, well, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit is like, the way I see it, I'm not an electrician. You know, Michael is an electrician. And I'm sure you've experienced high voltage electricity. You know, some people, when they touch electricity, it might not be a big deal. It might be like a little zing. And you're like, oh, electricity, right? It's like, oh, I didn't know this was hot. But some people, I've seen it. Some people somehow, accidentally, they touch something with electricity, and it was a little zing, electricity. But what happened? They only touched it. It's just the effect. They still carry the effect. And if you think about it, it's like, it's not going to kill you. You know, I've heard people who said, you know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I don't want that. Because when someone was filled with the Holy Spirit, they lost control. Now, the Holy Spirit is not the spirit of Oguferai, which is a Jezebel spirit, which is like a voodoo spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and possess you like you lose your control and you're out of your mind. No. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is powerful. But you know what? You're not drunk where you're out of your mind. You still know. I mean, I remember there's this guy, beautiful brother. I am emotional, but believe me, there are other people that are a lot different than me. This guy, he would be like, we would be in a moment of worship. It's so good. And then you feel the dynamite. And then I remember this one service we had in evangelism service, like a crusade. The guy, I mean, you could feel the presence because everybody's just crying out to the Lord. And I was playing and I looked at him and I'm like, and he grabbed his guitar. He just threw it on the ground and he's having a good time with the Holy Spirit. Different. But I don't judge it. Because I know him. And I think that's what people do. They think, well, the Holy Spirit wouldn't act. If you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be like, oh, yeah. Ooh, hallelujah. Hey. You know, some people, they're thinking. Isn't it this one? I don't know what I'll do when I'm 91, but for now, I'm going to enjoy it. So, you got to laugh too, right? This is not in my notes, all right? Ay, ay, ay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good. So then, of course, this guy, he was just going for it, and everybody's having their thing. Me, I felt the same thing. But at the same time, my instruments, I pay top dollars for them. Okay, so this acoustic guitar right here, that's a Martin D28. That's $4,500. So when the Holy Spirit, I'm filled, I'm like, I'm going to fall. I know I'm going to fall. I know I need to lay down. You know what I do? I grab my guitar gently because I need that for the next service. I put it on the stand and then I lay. You see now, that's me and the Holy Spirit. The other guy with the Holy Spirit, with his guitar, glory to God. God bless him. It was awesome. And then, 3-4 days later, whatever he did with his guitar, broke the guitar. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's all good. So then he came to me, he's like, man, Ricardo, you think I can borrow your guitar? I said, brother, I love you so much, but I'm sorry you can't. I said, I love you so much, God bless you. But I'm sorry, man. You see my guitar? You cannot use my guitar. You know? Yeah, I mean, we had a nice conversation. I think it was good. I mean, he's mature enough. I tell you this to tell you what. Listen, don't let somebody else ruin your taste for the Holy Spirit. Because of the way they either misused him, misunderstood him. It's a Holy Spirit. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, now do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. You know, people, they do that. They bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. We're studying from our study on Friday night, the level of authority. There are four levels of authority, right? We have God, the supreme authority, and we have the Word of God, the second level of authority, and we have our conscience, which is the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A lot of people, they disobey their conscience. They live a life in disobedience to their conscience. And you ask yourself, how come they're not blessed? It says you do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. When you live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, when you do things you're not supposed to do, you shouldn't be able to sleep. When you live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, you should feel very uncomfortable. There was a time I could be selfish in my marriage. Now, I can't. You know why? I won't sleep. I need my sleep. There was a time I could be like a little rude to people, even though they... Now, I just can't. Not because I don't want to. Even though I want to in my flesh. But it's this. Life that's flowing in is just like making it impossible. It's the seed, the life of God. And I look at people in the church, I'm like, why are you struggling? And I know why. You're not jumping in. Why are you struggling to forgive? Allow God to restore. You're not jumping. You're so set. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on that day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words. Oh my goodness, listen to this, harsh words. You see, when you're living a life filled with the Holy Spirit, please, when you're driving out there, everybody's driving like idiots, please save yourself a heart attack. Just chill. Bless them. Don't be like so grumpy because everybody's driving like a mad person. Pray for them. You have no idea what they're going through. Literally, I actually used to, thank God the Lord changed me. I'm not frustrated when I drive anymore. Mm-mm. I pray. You don't know what people are going through. You just don't know. Instead of you allowing the situation to call everybody on the road idiot, and before you know it, your heart starts beating and you have a headache, just pray a blessing. When you're in traffic, let me give you this advice. When you're in traffic, it's so bad going through the tunnel. Start praying in spirit. Change your strategy. Oh, Jesus, I pray. Lord, I pray for this driver. Lord, I don't know him, but you know him, Father. You stop thinking about you. You'll be amazed how the Lord is just come and sit in that house, in that car with you. Bring the angels. Why? Because you shift your mind. You shift your mind. There's no more time to be playing church. We deny the power. And the power is the Holy Spirit. We're not aware of it, of Him. Do not bring sorrow to the Spirit of God by the way you live. Get rid of all bitterness, rage. I'm saying that again, rage. Anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. I don't get it. If you are truly immersed in the Holy Spirit, your best friend cannot be a heathen. It's just like a fish with a horse. It's impossible. A fish cannot have a horse as best friend. Now, yeah, you're going to be nice to everybody. But you're telling me your best buddy is someone who doesn't know the Lord? Your best buddy? How does that work? Something's missing. Now, you might be born again, but there's a trick right there. Because you're born again, you confess Jesus as your Lord. That does not guarantee you eternity. Let me tell you this again. Once saved is not always saved. You need to work your salvation with fear and trembling. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Don't act thoughtlessly. Oh, I like that word. Thoughtlessly, meaning every action you're going to take, think about it. In other words, don't be dumb. Don't be stupid. Don't act thoughtlessly. But understand, how do you understand what to do when it comes to pleasing God? Now, since we are not in Bible study on Fridays, because Fridays we do have a really good interaction, today we don't have time for interaction, this verse here would shoot me straight to Romans, one of our favorite verse here, Romans chapter 12. How does that happen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies, what? What do you give first? What is it? Help me out. Give what? Your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let your members be living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. How do you worship God? You worship God in spirit and in truth by offering your body. Remember, Jesus said it, the spirit is willing. It's the flesh. Man, I tell you, my spirit, your spirit, is so willing to do what God please, what God wants. It's my flesh. It's my soul. It's my emotion. It's Ricardo. It's my pride. It's don't mess with me type of mindset. But then this is what it says in verse 2. It says, do not copy the behavior and custom of this world. But do what? Let God transform you in what? In a new person. How? When you read the Bible, those are the words. By changing what? The way you think. Proverbs said it. As a man think, so easy. Man, if you think, man, I'm so ugly, man, I tell you, I can't help you. If you think you're ugly, it doesn't matter how many everybody's telling you. You're not ugly. You mean beauty is subjective. You know, if you think I'm not love, that's the other thing. I'm not love. I'm an orphan. If you think you could grow in a family where your mom and dad loves you to death, but until you get that revelation, I'm loved. I belong. If you think you don't belong anywhere, it doesn't matter. The whole world could love you so much. But until you get it, I'm loved. Amen. I'm loved. I belong. Oh, I belong. Oh, I belong. And I do belong. And you belong. Until you get that change happen in your mind. How? By the renewal of your, with the word, by the renewal of your mind. I tell you, that makes a whole world of difference. It says, then you will learn how to. You will learn to know God's will. How? Let me go back. Do not copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. And then what is God's will? It's good. It's pleasing. It's perfect. Don't you love this? Yes. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. You must have a personal intimacy with the Word of God. I come here, I give you a little encouragement for 30 minutes. But until you go dive your head into it, meditate on it, do what it says, there's a lot you won't see happening in your life. Until you jump in that river, jump in that water, and live a life submersed by the Holy Spirit. You know, so now I go back to Ephesians chapter 17. It says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine. The spirit of debauchery, I come against it. The spirit of world parties, wild parties, worldly parties too, in the church. Now, I'm not saying anything about a glass of wine. If you find a beer you like, there is freedom in the Lord. Okay? But you shouldn't be getting drunk. Every party you have, everything we're doing, we have to be drinking. What's up with that? And think about it. When you stress, the enemy's like, yeah, you really need an 8-pack right now. The enemy's like, you know what? This was Satan. I'm talking about me. This is how he used to talk. Man, this was a bad week. Just get yourself some whiskey. Yeah, you deserve to kick back, man. Yeah, just drink a little bit. Relax, man. You work hard. But then I can kick him in the face with this verse. Do not be drunk, because that will ruin your life. Not only my spiritual life, but also my liver. It ruins your liver. It leaves you dry. That's what Satan does. You're taking drugs. You're smoking things you're not supposed to do. Repent. Throw it away. What's good? God's will is good, perfect, and pleasing. So he wants good for me and you. It's good. It's perfect. It's pleasing. Do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. It obscures, it blurred your spiritual sense, but also it destroys your physical bodies. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You do not want to destroy the temple of God. You do not want to misuse, abuse the temple of God. You know, and I think that's one thing, you know, we talk about gluttony. Is that how I say it? Gluttony? Eating too much. The Holy Spirit gives us self-control. And you know, God's will for us is good, pleasing, and perfect. Satan's will for us is bad. It's not perfect. It's painful. And you look at in the world, people's life are miserable. And when you look in the, I almost like don't like to say in the church. Let's say in Jesus. Because there are people in church, they're not in Christ. You need to be in Christ. In Christ, your life will be pleasing and perfect. But do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. But instead, be what? Help me out. You can keep that verse on the screen if you had it. Instead, what do? Jump in the pool. I am in the pool. Every day I jump in the pool. Jump in the pool. Be refreshed. Be renewed. And let me finish with this verse. John chapter 16, verse 5. It says, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you're grieving because of what I've told you. But in fact, verse 7, John 16, verse 5 to 15. And now I'm reading verse 7. It says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that he refused to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because of the ruler of this world has already been judged. There's so much more I want to tell you. This is Jesus, our Savior, talking. It's like, there's so much I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he received from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And this is why I say the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So why the Holy Spirit? I don't know if you are taking note, and I want you to take this question with what I said today. I invite the worship team to come. Today, if you feel like, and of course my prayer team, I want them to make themselves available. If you feel like you just need a touch, I want you to come to the altar. We're going to sing for a minute. Maybe Alyssa, lead that song for me. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood. You know, and we still have a couple more minutes. Come flood this place. You know, come flood my life. Fill the atmosphere. You know, and I'm just going to give a couple minutes for you guys to give an answer to the word of the Lord. I want to be filled. You know, and let's do that. Let's give an answer to what the Lord is speaking to us this morning. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord. And we ask that you would just flood our hearts. Fill the atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Let us become. Let's say that again. I invite you to stand. Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
See now.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become
the glory. Let us become more aware, Lord, as we await your return. You pouring more and more of your presence in our lives. We know there is more, and we want more, and we thank you for more. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom. Your word says if we lack wisdom and we ask, and right now, Father, we ask for fresh outpouring of wisdom as our lives saturate with you. Lord, I pray for from the smallest, the youngest, to the oldest in our midst, a fresh outpouring of your presence, God. Lord, that we would take your word today and do what it says. We thank you that you're the one that changed people. I don't. You are. And we rest right there. We rest on that. Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to come together today, to be equipped and to be sent out. And as we go forth from this place, I ask that we would be known as kingdom people. We would die to ourselves. We would die to the flesh, to the deeds of the flesh. But we would become aware of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you that your will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And we embrace your will. Continue to stretch out your hands. Once again, we know when we choose to follow you, the enemy doesn't like that. So therefore, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We thank you that every door that is supposed to open will open before us. We thank you also, God, that every door that is not supposed to be open will be closed. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would speak to us in our dreams. It says in the last days, we live in the last days. We would have dreams and visions as we open the word, your Bible. Lord God, I pray that the word, the rhema from your word would just encourage us. Father, I thank you for the work you're doing here in restoration. Thank you for stirring up the well, deep wells. Thank you for agitating the water. As for me and my house, we're jumping, Lord. And I'm calling them to jump in. We're jumping in, Father. Yes, Lord, we are. We are. Thank you for your peace. Thank you, Father. Amen. While you go in his victory, amen. Go in his victory.